The word of God is alive and powerful, sharpening any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, to critical of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So you show yourself approved unto God, workman does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We are in our studies this morning, Genesis chapter 47. We are working on the analysis of verses 13 through 17, probably around page 16 of our notes. All right, as is our custom, we'll give you opportunity to make sure you're prepared, not only mentally, but spiritually. That is that to any sin in the life, you have dealt with it with the rebound technique, prayer, confession. 1 John 1:9, an acknowledgement of our sins to God is that prescription necessary to deal with personal sin in the life, to lay aside the old man, as Paul says, and put on the new man, to be filled with God the Holy Spirit. This is the mechanics given to us. And this is all essential, that we are filled with God the Holy Spirit when we study God's Word. Because under the natural man, that is your brain computer alone, it cannot understand these things. It demands and of necessity has to have God the Holy Spirit, which is spiritual in nature, to enlighten us to the spirituality of the truth of Bible doctrine. So with that in mind, as is our custom, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with a normal word of prayer. Father, though every man be a liar, your word stands forever. We thank you again for the revelation of it to those who are seekers of you, who are willing to align themselves in regards to your requirements to understand these things, and that otherwise in judgment you keep hidden these things to those who otherwise reject you in regards to their lives. We ask that God the Holy Spirit will once again this morning guide us to the truth in the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Here in the text of Genesis 47, in our verses 13 through 17, it places us in about the third year of the seven-year famine that has basically overcome the earth. It is universal in nature in that most of the civilized world, obviously, is directly affected by it. And in this vein, rereading verses 13 through 17, now there was no food in all the land, because the famine was very severe, so that the land of Egypt, the land of Canaan, languished because of the famine. Verse 14, and Joseph gathered all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the grain which they bought. And Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. Verse 15, and when the money was all spent in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came to Joseph and said, give us food, for why should we die in your presence? For our money is gone. And verse 16, then Joseph said, give up your livestock, and I will give you food, understood, for your livestock, since your money is gone. Verse 17, so they brought their livestock to Joseph, and Joseph gave them food in exchange for the horses and for the herds of the flocks and the herds of the cattle and the donkeys, and he fed them with food in exchange for all their livestock that year. So as it is, as the famine progresses with each passing year, It obviously, the conditions, the environment, the economy gets worse and worse in this regards to a time now that essentially there is no agricultural alternative, no food in the land apart from the grain reservoirs that Joseph and Pharaoh wisely set aside in the 7 years of plenty. So any other options, obviously at this point, is minuscule at best for the society at large in this regards. The severity of the famine is described here in the strongest of terms. Earlier verses, as we noted, recognizes that the famine was over all the earth at this point in time. But it appears that Canaan and Egypt, that particular geographical location was hit the hardest, quite hard, if not the hardest in this regards. And the severity of it is expressed here in the Hebrew in regards to the adjective kebed and adverb mayo that modify the noun famine. In the English, the famine was very severe, which denotes that it was extremely oppressive, great, and it was exceedingly in this condition. So it could not get much stronger than that to know just how hard hit this environmental catastrophe that obviously is under the control of God, who controls all things, as it impacts the human race. Obviously, we can see just what man can do in regards to impacting the economy just by jacking around on their own. When God gets involved, look out, all hell can break loose, as it may be in this vein. But yet God has a plan for men, and his plan here is to ensure the survival, first and foremost, for the Hebrew race of Jacob and his family with Joseph, but also under these conditions, the inhabitants of the nations Egypt, as well as the surrounding nation of Canaan. So just pick up point 9, page 16 of our notes. The famine itself ravaged the agricultural landscape, as the language so states, so that the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan languished because of the famine. 10, the emphasis here appears to be that the regions of Egypt and Canaan were especially hard hit, having the most need of assistance. And obviously, the reserve is centralized in Egypt. 11, no rain even in the highlands, the upper elevations of Egypt and Canaan region. It didn't rain even up in those areas where often sometimes you will get moisture in higher elevations, whereas lower elevations would be dry as a bone. So no rain even in the highlands left the plains and valleys of the topography drought stricken to a point that only the sparsest of vegetation, the hardiest, if you will, can survive in regards to these types of environmental conditions. 12, for Egypt, this would mean the absence of the normal flooding season in the lower Nile Delta that held the prevailing fertile soil for Egyptian agriculture. Again, understand, some 3,000 years ago, the environment was quite different in the Middle East than what is seen today. And whereas almost the entire region of Egypt in that general area is wilderness area. Some of this obviously brought about because of God's judgment in the land of Canaan of Israel in this regards. But during Joseph's time, much more of this land obviously was fertile, but still they depended upon the water supply of the Nile greatly in regards to providing irrigation for land in this respect, and annually with the spring rains as it occurs, the Nile would flood. Water is easily irrigated, spreading out from the Nile, and that's where you have your most fertile soil in regards to the geography as we would see it and understand it today. So 13, the Hebrew verb here, laha, translated languished, is only used here in its definitive form and pictures the ongoing decline of the land as a food source, with the severity increasing, the availability of planting and finding food in regards to the land exponentially declines in its produce. So 14, now during the formative years of the famine, the citizens were dependent upon their savings in currency to purchase grains to subsidize their tables, as our verses bring out in regards to the money or silver that is used to buy grain from the reserve. Also is noted in regards to Joseph's brothers, as they would travel to Egypt to get grain, that they had to purchase it. They took silver, hard currency, to utilize the transaction in that respect. So during the earlier onset of the situation, only money was acceptable to the government here in this case, to purchase grain for people in their living grace. So that's point 15. During this time, the government policy for buying food was with a monetary system only. So that obviously indicates that there was a monetary system in place, as much as historians or archaeologists may want to bicker in regards to coins being printed and how far back and things of this nature, as they always like to try to paint people living back in these areas as some type of Neanderthals, that their knuckles drag the ground or some other thing, where in reality you had highly sophisticated civilizations and very brainy, intelligent people, and much of society operates along the very same lines as what we see in the modern world today. And the monetary system was in place. This monetary system obviously was a little bit more sound than what we have ventured into as a country and as a world. So in this case, Joseph was not going to give away the grain, but the grain was for sale. You had to purchase it in order to survive in these conditions. So this point 16 brings out the fact this government under Joseph refused to become a welfare state. There were no free handouts, with exceptions. Obviously, you work for the government. You're part of Pharaoh's army, and a nonprofit. Otherwise, you can expect assistance. But under the normal citizens' commercial type of living, these people were expected to pay for their food. Obviously, our country has deteriorated greatly because of this implementation of a welfare system, among other things. 17, for Joseph and Pharaoh in Egypt, there were no free handouts, and everyone's expected to pay their fair share for goods and services provided by the government. The government, in and of itself, operated, if you will, on a capitalistic system. 18, this policy recognizes that every citizen has a value that they're expected to use to procure the necessities of life. Every individual has value if they apply themselves in regards to being productive citizens. Even the more restrained physical situations otherwise. 19, as we will see in verse 19, at the least, they could offer themselves as civil servants or slaves and work for the government. As they will become so destitute and monetarily and through their assets otherwise, that they're willing to become indentured servants and sell their property as a last resort. So 20, Joseph obviously followed the very principle we as believers today are to follow. Quote, if you don't work, you don't eat. If you don't have the financial means otherwise. That is something that has become most foreign in regards to much of our society. Our welfare system, the freebie handouts, everybody enjoyed their virus money, I assume. All these things that the government gets involved in is evil. They're using your tax dollars in a partial way. They are unequally spreading the wealth. And of course, that's just a big movement among the liberals to hamstring and beat down, if you will, those who otherwise are becoming rich to spread their money around. And of course, all the jackasses of the world who are jealous because of other people's wealth. Oh, that's just a great thing. Yeah, I'll spread that money around. Give it to us, you know. You want to put your country in a world of hurt, all you got to do is look at every country that's practiced socialism, communism, and see how their countries have fared in regards to their societies. In that condition, the rich are fewer and far between than what you find in a capitalistic system otherwise. You have almost a two-caste system, the rich and the poor. So obviously, we follow this example as a Living Grace ministry. We recognize the importance of being able-bodied and willing to work for a living. Obviously, there may be conditions that people need to get over the hump and things of this nature. We recognize that. But otherwise, we're not going to sit here and cater to people that just don't want to go out and work. So, in this whole section here, as I've already brought out and alluded to, we are going to see how a properly functioning government with righteous morals and ethics should operate in regard to their citizens. So, in regards to providing the livelihood as it is, that responsibility should go primarily to the man in the house. And 21, for the Egyptian society, this responsibility lay directly on the shoulders of the head of the house, as verse 24 brings out that upon the disbursement of seed is designed for the head of the house to hand it out appropriately to make sure everyone in their family is fed and in regards to their business and things of this nature. Again, our world has managed to lasso the female population through the manipulations of politicians and the world bankers to enslave them in regards to the workforce of society rather than allowing them to be homemakers, which is a full-time job in and of itself if it's done right. Obviously, you sit around eating bonbons all day and watching Donahue, then you've got spiritual problems that needs to be addressed. But a housewife is, when it's done right, especially with children, is a full-time occupation. Now, obviously, today, our society, the economy, the way it is, it's almost essential that both spouses have to work. Obviously, single families, people in those niches are the exceptions in that respect. And there's nothing wrong for even a wife to bring in extra money, etc. But still, the number one priority should be for the house, to the house. But, you know, our world today would take these words and just say this is how archaic these people are in their thinking. They would call us old school. See, well, it's about time you went back to old school because you forgot what the primary lessons of life were all about. Wrapped up in their arrogance and their fantasies in regards to creating their own world without God. But it's not going to happen. As much as they may try, they're going to find themselves enslaved themselves. And they're going to have a master that's going to enslave them, the world who line up with it, that is horrible to even think about in regards to oppression and what he will bring upon this human race in the person of the Antichrist and his followers. The genocide. Everybody's squealing about the wars and rumors of wars that go on in this world and the atrocities. And again, we don't dismiss the cruelty of war, but that's war. But the amount of genocide, etc., is nothing compared to what the Antichrist is going to promote in his tenure. And it won't be people that are evil that will be targeted. It will be those who try to align themselves with the truth of Bible doctrine otherwise. Christians and others who are conservative in their thinking and will not align with the New World Order, also known now as the Global Reset. Reset for what? For ultimate destruction for many. 22, continuing on here, as with the most fiscally stable or sober, that's mentally, emotionally, economically sober nations. Egypt here utilized a metal standard, kesef in the Hebrew, silver here, to produce their hard currency. Obviously, gold would be there, but currency, the dominant currency here is silver. So that's in contrast to the type of economic system we operate under. That's point 23, no evil fiat system for this nation. Here's your money, a piece of paper. And it has no real value attached to it. There is no standard of value to to the money. It's just whatever value politicians and the bankers want to place on it. As our gold standard was removed last century. Now it's all going to digital. They're getting rid of money altogether. Klaus and his gang will fix it so nobody owns anything. Anyway, yeah, all those people in China that live under this type of system already, you can just see how spectacular their lives are. With 7 years of plenty preceding the famine, the wealth would have been widespread and reserves and savings would be expected. So those 7 years of plenty obviously gave everyone opportunity to accumulate at least some savings to help them get over the hump of the famine period, as that news would obviously be spread around of what they could expect, at least people who would give it an ear. So, but to save in 7 years, to survive the next 7 years in totality would mean almost, you know, probably 70-80% of your savings to do it. If you could do 50%, you're doing pretty good at savings. So the money itself, just to kind of give you an idea about how long, as it's being presented, it would last for people who were able to save this way, a couple, 3 years. So 25, yet the economic destruction of the famine prevented any future income. And over time, those savings would be depleted. 26, while one might set aside a large amount of savings, being flush with prosperity for 7 years, how much of that would have been in cash versus barter trading, as would be common in this era of history, would vary. Obviously, not everybody's going to be equal on this. But overall, in general, the corporate population. So 27, how long the general populace was able to purchase grain is unstated. We're into the third year. Whether it reached into the fourth year overall might be stretching a little bit. But definitely into the third year. And their money starts running out. So that's 28. Where we pick up formally. However, sooner or later, everyone was broke as far as their hard currency. And Joseph, quote, and Joseph gathered all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the grain which they bought. While Lakoth, Joseph, Kol, Kesef, Ha, Mapsa, Bet, Eretz, it should be Bet, in the land of Egypt, Wow, Bet, Eretz, Canaan, Bet, Ha, Shever, grain. Verse 14. So, obviously, the famine affects everyone. No one escapes this. 29, the Egyptian printed coins and other valuable metals, otherwise used as legal tender, all ultimately found their way to Joseph for the purchase of food. The government took in all the currency hard currency that was available in circulation. 30, this included tinder used in Canaan, acceptable by the Egyptian government, with silver, obviously. Precious metals are generally accepted by most governments that aren't totally evil. So 31, with this influx of money, quote, Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. Bo Joseph ha keseth beeth Pharaoh. So 32, all proceeds of currency went to the royal treasury. It is set aside in the vaults of Pharaoh. It was government that saved all, underlined, of the tax grain for the occasion. It was their investment on behalf of the people. And by right, they could reinvest it through the capitalist system that they adhered. Let Pharaoh take action to appoint overseers in charge of the land. Let him exact a fifth, 20%, the land of Egypt in 7 years of abundance of the produce. Then let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming, store up the grain for food, the cities under Pharaoh's authority, let them guard it. Obviously, you're going to have overhead to do all this by the government. They got to have the facilities in order to store this. They have to have the manpower and things of this nature to assure all this is going on. So the government, obviously, while it is a form of taxation, the government has overhead and financial responsibilities of their own, and is seen as an investment in this regard. And let the food become as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine, verse 36, which will occur in the land of Egypt, so the land may not perish during the famine. But obviously, this taxation isn't for all the pork barrel liberal arts programs and socialist programs for the politicians to throw out to get people's votes otherwise. It's being done to preserve the integrity of the people as a nation. You might put it on essentially the same level as governments need to maintain a military for security of a nation. This is a situation where the emergency management of Egypt recognized through God's grace the need of this reservoir of grain to be set aside. So I address it on these terms because there are just many commentators out there and others that want to try to paint Joseph and the government as stingy, greedy, etc., because of certain policies that are being established in this respect, making them pay for the grain. Well, that's just somebody that's been inundated and propagandized with socialism throughout their life already. Is that you deserve a break today, a mentality like a you deserve a free handout, see, just because. Our society has been conditioned in that way. And you can see what kind of generation results from that. Can't even get people to go back to work. Can't work from home. I ain't got to work at home. All right. Of course, they're bringing their own trouble on their own heads either way. 34, obviously there, that's the government's intentions and savings were preserved for the good of those that otherwise would remain productive citizens. So it's important to note the intentions and motivations behind this. And the benefit, the extension, is designed to, when needed, put out a helping hand for those who prove to be continued productive citizens otherwise, the heads of the house. $35, with the legal tender exhausted, then, after collecting all the money, Pharaoh's piggy bank was full. Joseph now is faced with a new challenge for dispensing the food. 36, that reality then is stated in verse 15. Quote, and when the money was all spent in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, exhausted, is finished. All the Egyptians came to Joseph and said, give us food, for why should we die in your presence, as is translated? For our money is gone. An open admission. So 37, that the required transaction for food was in currency. Quote, when the silver was all spent, well, the mom hakeseth, end quotes, another avenue for purchase obviously became necessary. A point here that I bring out, 38, here we have only the Egyptian citizens that are given right to petition the Egyptian government for help. Now they got all the money from both Egypt and Canaan according to the text. But it's not the citizens of Canaan that are coming and make a petition to Joseph. Only Egyptians. And this obviously at least implies that the right to petition a government is reserved for the natural citizen of the country in and of itself. Obviously, what's going on around us in our country and in Europe and elsewhere is to destroy the nationalist rights of citizens under the guise of the New World Order. To give the foreign nationals who may come into the country the same rights, and often even more so than their natural citizens. You check up on your own research, but they're estimating that with the new open border policy that's being re-implemented, that they're going to have more foreigners in population arrive to the state of Texas within the period of whatever it was, a year or whatever. Some 30 million, which is more than the citizens in Texas is as it is, as it stays today, is some 29 million. Well, what's going on? Well, we know what's going on. The attack against the divine institutions is ruthless. They're like mad dogs, and they're going to continue to rip away and devour what they can to bring the populace under control. Obviously, you can expect a pretty severe attack in our society based on the fact that we have always been predominantly one of the freest countries in the world. So who are you going to have to go after to restrain and control in order to bring these things into the world itself in compliance? So anyway, let them do what they want to do. Just remember, know the truth, and the truth will set you free, no matter what they may do to you. So here we see only the Egyptians come to Joseph. And that implies the practice of government, of only allowing the Egyptian citizen to formally petition the government, apart from the government extending any invitation in and of themselves. And we saw that. I mean, Jacob and his family, it was not without invitation by Joseph and those in charge in the Egyptian government for them to relocate to Egypt. So 39 now, the phrase, quote, give us food, Yahab Lamed Lechem, bread, lechem, end quotes, in the English seems demanding, as in protest. You might read that, give us food, like they're protesting the government, you know. But that's stronger than what is actually being communicated in the Hebrew. 40, our English translation, the English, quote, give, end quote, from the people, give us food, is the Hebrew Yahav, which that is different from the normal, quote, give verb, nathan, as it is used in our verses, in verses 16 and 17, in Joseph gave them food. So, 41, Yahav has the idea of ascribe, assign, or credit. And here, in a monetary context, has a nuance of, quote, mortgage, end quote. So, you got to follow the logic in regards to the civilians. Their hard currency is gone. They see the posture of the government. No, we're not going to be a welfare state. So their option then would be to resort to any other types of assets that the government might find applicable and acceptable with the currency situation shut down. So this is the idea that's coming across here from the people. So 42, while a protest exists due to lack of funds, in other words, you could look at it as a protest and say, we don't have any more money. You got it all. We'd like to go to Las Vegas with you and help you spend it. No. You got it all. So, in that sense, yeah, you can see an error of protest. But while protest exists due to the lack of funds, the Egyptians here are appealing to Joseph to investigate other means for the transactions to continue. Is there not something else of value that we can use as an alternative for the money being gone? That's their approach. So 43, that avenue comes then in the form of liquid assets. Assets that you can readily turn into cash that may not be cash in and of itself as it sits. Like today, automobiles, homes, things of that nature. and put it on eBay and get some money. And it's got value, see, or whatever. So the appeal is, give us an alternative of some assets that we may have that you would find acceptable in place of the silver that's otherwise been exhausted. So 44, the dominant investments that most citizens would possess would be in the field of some type of livestock, recognizing the overall livelihood in this time and era. They didn't have their Walmarts or their Giant Eagles on the corners for everybody to go buy food. Most people had land and grew their own food. And food as a commodity, also as a means of income, as it may be. And in that regards, they would accumulate livestock, animals, for purposes of transportation, for food, and things of this nature. So, like most farmers, you know, at least in the earlier years, and most farmers, all of them had at least chickens. Chickens run around the place. And some other form of livestock, even dirt farmers would generally carry some type of livestock. My grandparents, they were dirt farmers, but they always had cows, always had hogs, always had chickens, things of that nature. So livestock would be a common commodity owned by people in Egypt in this way. So for liquid assets, one area that Joseph could start at that would provide something of value that would be beneficial to the government in terms of food and transportation, is their livestock. So 45, so Joseph begins at that level. He begins at that level. Give up your livestock, quote, and I will give you food for your livestock since your money is gone. Yahav, McKenna, again that should be transliterated with an I. Wow, Nathan, Lamed, Bet. McKenna, M. Afas, Kesson. So 46, now here we see the Hebrew verbs Yahav, to credit, if you will, and Nathan, both translated give in the English. You wouldn't know you had two different words in the Hebrew and the English. You got two different Hebrew words. So here we see the Hebrew verbs Yahav and Nathan used in contrast, paralleling the meaning of mortgaging. That's the idea that is being presented here, under credit, pawning, if you want to look at it that way, with the, quote, outright selling, quote, to give, of the items in view. Let us mortgage our cattle, and then he will outright give to us the grain, see. That's the idea. So 47, Joseph says he will allow for the Egyptians to, quote, pawn, if you quit, end quote, their livestock, to use that term. and if they can later get them out of hawk, then the animals would be returned. If not, then obviously they would be forfeited, as the pawn system, pawn shop generally works in that vein. That's how banks get started in certain instances, is through people who open pawn shops. I probably told you before, I worked at one in Oklahoma City. It's supposed to be the largest pawn shop in the world. It was a full square block. Jewish guy, well, most of them were Jewish in there. I remember the owner's name was Joe Leader. Then the other Jewish guy, they, of course, one of those names you never forget, his name was Hyman. from his full given name, Hyman. But anyway, they not only had the pawn stuff, but he was invested in new things. Musical instruments was real big in pawn shops. And he had the walls lined up with guitars. And I sit there, and a couple of hours one day, I was just nothing to do, sitting there, started counting. And I lost count. There was that many. Then he had as much of that in stock and boxes, new guitars in the back. So his office was a concrete vault in the middle of the store. I remember when he died, and somebody else bought the block. It was like a major intersection. The real estate was prime. And they tore down that building, and for 2 weeks that vault still stood there by itself with the concrete walls and the iron, etc., before they finally got it tore down. So, want to know where I come up sometimes with words that I use? It could be from practical experience. You worked every day except for Saturday for those people. So Joseph says he will allow the Egyptians to pawn their livestock, and if they can later get them out of hawk, then the animals will be returned. If not, they were forfeited. Which obviously is a wise decision for this type of deal, because sooner or later the famine is going to be over. And people are going to need their resources back in this vein. So 48, now the principle behind here, this transaction, is that if one has assets that they can sell or procure a loan from in a time of need, they are to utilize these avenues to secure their needs. As a society, we're pretty much spoiled in that regard. Nobody wants to give up any of their details in life. But truly, if you're in a world of hurt and you've got a financial problem, you got assets, you can turn it into cash or go get a loan or whatever. You know, try these avenues out first before maybe you go out and hold your hand out for money. So that's point 49. This is, quote, food for thought, end quote. For any that may apply for living grace, are there assets you can immediately liquefy to help or take care of your need? Obviously, some things are essential today to have, and you need it to maintain your, to be able to work, and things of that nature. But if you don't need the bet, I guess that's what goes first, see. In your case, my case, you always need one. No. All right, let's take our break.